Now, since you said very few people that you've met have had a curse on them, this almost implies that there have been a few cases when you've been able to see that somebody did have a curse on them. How did you see that, and what were the effects?
I was contacted once by somebody who was absolutely sure that a couple had a curse on them. They actually contacted my husband at the time, we, you know, like I say, it's very rare, but these people had a particular family story about having been cursed by a gypsy while on the boat coming over to Ellis Island. You know, there was a whole family history involved, and we met with these people, and we could sense that there was a dark cloud hanging over them. It was very uncomfortable. You know, you rely on your intuition, you rely on your psychic sensitivity. Two of us went so we could kind of check back and forth with each other because, you know, it's nice to double check with somebody. There's always the possibility that you're just wrong. The intuition isn't 100% fail-safe method, but when you're dealing with psychic phenomena, it's the best method you have. So, you know, he kind of, my ex-husband, who, you know, we were married at the time, mm-hmm. he kind of felt what he felt, and I kind of felt what I felt, and we consulted, and we were both feeling the same thing, so that was kind of affirming. And then we proceeded to go through their house and command the negative. It's not a lot different from an exorcism. You tell the negative forces that it's time for them to leave, and you bless the home, and you create it as a place of goodness where a curse cannot reside, and you release negative energy and send it away. Sometimes you use a diversionary tactic. Like you can bury an egg at the border of a property, and as the egg rots, it draws all the rottenness to it.
Does that work?
If you do it with intention and focus and put your power into it, yeah, it works really nicely. And
interesting.
It's a good little trick.
Now, you mentioned your former husband, Isaac Bonewitz, who I know wrote the preface of your book, which I've read. And I looked up a little information about him, and I found it was fascinating that he was the only person ever to get a degree in magic from UC Berkeley.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Bonewitz, by the way. And, yeah, he was considerably better known than I was when I met him, because I hadn't written any books yet, but he was very famous for books that he'd written. And we're still great friends. He's a wonderful magician, and he's a druid, and terribly experienced, and I've learned a lot from him.
Well, I love the fact that he could embarrass the UC Berkeley faculty because I doubt that they realized they were giving anybody a degree in magic until
they had a self-study program, but you had to get faculty approval. But he was quite a flirt, and he got everybody in the administration office, all the women in the administration office, on his side. The joy of it for him was, in addition to the fact that it started his career, state university diplomas are all signed by the governor.
Right.
So his degree is signed by the governor of California circa 1970, and that was Ronald Reagan.
Sure, sure.
So he got a real kick out of that.
That is great. Now, the other thing I read about him was that during his time there, 66 to 70, he had joined Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, which brought up a lot of questions for me, and that is, is this really Satan worship, and what is Satan worship?
Well, you know, there's an awful lot of people out there who call themselves Satan worshipers or Satanists. Most of them don't worship Satan. Isaac was with the Church of Satan for less than a year when he was a teenager, and he likes to tell funny stories about it. He's very against it. But he was seeking something, and once he realized that there were other things he could be seeking besides Satanism, he was out of there like a shot. But the people in Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, they're really worshiping their own ego. and placing themselves above other concerns. And that's the most common form of Satanism. And there are some people who actually worship evil. They're very, very rare, even among people who call themselves Satanists. I've never met one. Every now and then I've read about one and usually they're just crazy.
When we talk about yin and yang, that implies that there probably is a Satan. Do you think so?
No, if there is a Satan, then there has to be something that's all good also. And you know, we were talking about nature and how complex nature is and how full of shades of gray nature is. I don't think that anything is all good or all bad. I think there is such a thing as evil. But a force of evil running the show and pulling for evil is not something that I have any evidence for and doesn't seem plausible to me.
Are witches in general, and of course when we say witches, this is more than just Wiccan, obviously, because witchcraft goes back to the beginning of time. And I think you can get books on this that date way back and look at spells that include pulverizing newt brains and things like this. And actually, that's a pretty good thing to ask. In terms of, you look at the spells of yesteryear, and they required you to get the liver of some bird or something and do all this to make your spell come true. I assume that modern witches or Wiccans aren't out for bird livers. So are these things merely symbolic of focusing the attention, or did they have properties?
Things that witches use have properties. One of your sources of power, like I said, is spiritual forces. That's prayer, right? Another source of power is the concentration of your own mind. But you and I were discussing earlier that there's some weaknesses in the concentration of your own mind, namely that when you're raising power and you're kind of going off into, you're kind of going out of your head, and it's harder to concentrate. So you might want some other things that help you focus, that are just purely symbolic, and you might want some things that have their inherent power. You asked me earlier, do plants, for example, have spiritual essence? And plants certainly do have an essence, a quality. It's not a suggestion to say, for example, that lavender helps you sleep. Lavender helps you sleep because the chemical properties of that aroma are relaxing. Caffeine, it's not mind over matter that makes caffeine keep you alert. Caffeine keeps you alert.
Mm-hmm.
So plants definitely have their own properties. And the skillful witch will learn to harness things in nature that have properties that are useful.
Okay, so, and we all can, when it comes to health, understand all the natural things that would impinge upon health. But is there anything to harness for wealth? Is there some plant that, hey, this is the plant of money?
Yeah, there's also a lot of them. Listen, people have been concerned with a very finite number of things throughout history.
Yeah, give me a list of these money plants.
Well, keep a leaf of basil in your wallet.
Okay.
Or a sprig of rosemary is good, too.
Okay.
But a basil leaf is good in the wallet.
Okay.
Always give money away. You know, throw coins in charity boxes.
Right.
Whenever you see them, because whenever you're throwing money away, you're doing so on the assumption that you have enough. So you're creating this thought form.